conventional medicine tells us that a lot of diseases are black or white. You either have it or you don't. And you will be diagnosed with it once you've kind of hit this threshold. So for diabetes, once you kind of hit this threshold in your blood sugar levels, right? But that doesn't account for the many, many, many years in most cases that the disease has been progressing, that the disease has been in formation. And for a lot of diseases, a lot of disorders, and today we're going to talk about autoimmune disorders, these things are, in my opinion, a spectrum. And things that can be developing and giving in symptoms can be giving us clues for many, many years before it becomes a full-fledged problem that your doctor will then diagnose and very typically put you on medicine for. Now, thank God for these medicines and thank God for doctors to be able to provide life-saving treatment. But I do think that there's a missing link in our medical system in general. And that's kind of why I became a health coach. So I've been in the healthcare field for over 25 years. And my job, and I still work in the field, is an occupational therapist. And I help people overcome and cope with and recover from major injuries and major illnesses. So illnesses such as type 2 diabetes that has wreaked havoc on someone's nervous system, their circulation, their ability to heal. I've helped people recover from strokes and help people adapt to and prevent further injury for things like rheumatoid arthritis and other autoimmune disorders like MS, which is really common. So the fact that I was seeing so many sick people and thinking to myself, gosh, what if they knew 10 years ago that they could have changed something in their lifestyle, possibly in their diet? What if they made changes that could have completely prevented what they're now having to deal with and what they're struggling with, the thing that's impacting their ability to function in life and enjoy life? So my perspective has really shifted in the whole, you know, health field to one of looking at what are the things that we can impact or what are the things that are impacting our health that maybe we're not aware of. Because some of these things, like I said, are developing over many, many years. And our medical system is really based on responding to life-saving measures. So clinically, a lot of things aren't problems until they're really big problems. And I believe in many circumstances, and especially with chronic illnesses, that these are things that are developing over many, many years. And what if we could become more expert at our own body and figuring out what are the things that are impacting our health? What are the things that are inflaming us? What are the things that are causing so much stress on our body that it's breaking down and it's not working properly? So really, my perspective as a health coach in general is to look at what are the things that we can control and what are the things that we can make better choices at so that we live longer and healthier. So I'm really starting to develop this perspective that autoimmune disorders can also be on this spectrum, just like type 2 diabetes, right? Something that could be developing for years and you may have these symptoms that, you know, may not be clinically significant enough for the doctor to say you have a diagnosis, but something that could be kind of brewing and you don't really understand what's going on. So I just want to kind of open your eyes to the fact that this could be kind of brewing in the background, maybe give you an alternate, you know, perspective on why you're feeling like you're feeling. You may also be diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, and this is good too because I am offering some non-conventional medicine alternatives to consider. But before I even get into what autoimmune disorders are, what are some of the more holistic approaches and all of that, I would like to say that if you have any concerns, if any of this sounds like something going on with you, you should certainly talk to your doctor or nurse practitioner or physician assistant or whoever it is that is your primary care provider. It is really important to have a medical professional look at what's going on, because there could be things going on that absolutely require attention of a medical professional. But what I also think is really important is that we are empowered with knowledge and that we become the experts in our own bodies. And this can really help us in how we approach talking to our medical professionals, questions we can ask. This can also really help you choose a medical professional based on, you know, how open they are to hearing your perspective. And I think that's a really, really important quality, in my opinion, with healthcare providers, is that they do take, you know, what you're saying into account and what's going on in your body. So we're going to dig a little bit deeper into this topic and what are some other possible causes, and kind of talk about some of the root cause possibilities when it comes to autoimmune disorders. And the actual name autoimmune kind of tells you what is actually going on. And the problem is really rooted in our immune system. But taking it a little bit deeper, why is it that our immune system is reacting against our body? So I really like Dr. Amy Myers and her perspective, and you can find her at amymyersmd.com, and her explanation of this sort of spectrum that I'm kind of adopting as my perspective. There's this spectrum, according to her, where there's sort of like, you know, ground zero. There's no symptoms, no inflammation. And then, you know, the next step may be some mild inflammation. And then the spectrum goes from mild to moderate to severe, and then eventually to a full-blown diagnosis of autoimmune disease. So all of us can have occasional symptoms, right? Could be acne, digestive issues, fatigue, brain fog, joint pain, you know, just inflammation in our body. Something's going on. But when these become chronic and create more lasting damage inside our body, and then they begin to impact our ability to function in everyday life, that's when we start to get into the other side of the spectrum. So what I'm really hoping to achieve in today's podcast is to open your eyes to the possibility so that you're armed with that information. Like I said, you can talk to your healthcare provider if you're suffering or you think you may be suffering with one of these diseases, and just to offer a different perspective, one that includes a little bit more of a holistic viewpoint, so that maybe, you know, medication isn't the only approach, or maybe we don't have to wait for it to become a full-blown problem before we start making changes in our lives that might really, really help. So what are autoimmune disorders? Before I even get into that, I would just want to say that 5 to 8% of the population has an autoimmune disorder. And that's what the experts think. It may be more. And it's on the rise. On average, it takes 5 years to get a diagnosis. And I wonder about that. Is that because it's been developing for 5 years and then finally becomes worse to the point where it's diagnosed? I don't know. symptoms of autoimmune disease can be really, really wide, varied, and often mysterious. And this is what makes it very tricky to diagnose. Some of the autoimmune symptoms can be headaches, brain fog, muscle, joint pain, fatigue, weakness. I mean, these are all kind of vague symptoms sometimes. Allergies, rosacea, acne, dermatitis, eczema, strange body rashes, attention deficit, IBS, and a host of other GI symptoms. Typically, autoimmune disease involves like one body system, but that isn't the case for all of them. And some autoimmune diseases go together with each other. So if you have one, you're more at risk for another, like thyroid, Hashimoto's, and rheumatoid arthritis are commonly seen together. Over the past few years, research continues to support the idea that leaky gut may be responsible or at least a big factor in developing autoimmune disease. And this is actually really, really exciting. There is some genetic component, but experts really think that lifestyle, nutrition, stress, toxins, all of that are bigger factors in the development of these diseases. So if it runs in your family, that doesn't mean that it has to make you at a significantly higher risk. But definitely, if someone in your family has an autoimmune disorder, then, you know, definitely paying attention to, you know, some of the things that could be triggers can be helpful. So autoimmune disease isn't a problem with the brain or the thyroid or your joints and connective tissue in your body. It's really a problem where your immune system is the actual culprit. So what's going on here? The immune system actually flags antibodies on certain tissues in the body. Could be in the brain, could be the thyroid, in your gut, in your joints. And when the immune system flags these parts of the body as foreign invaders, an inflammatory response is created. So the body starts attacking itself and creating damage and inflammation. As of now, there's no way to reverse this. There's no way for us to actually completely cure this response by the nervous system where it's flagging certain body tissues. Because once those antibodies have been created, your immune system remembers them and those become triggers. So this could be the food that we eat, things in our environment, stressors, all of these things that are causing our immune system to overreact. And it's actually this overreaction of the immune system that's causing the symptoms, whether it's in the thyroid, the brain, joints, the gut. And this is why autoimmune diseases have such an array of symptoms. When the immune system attacks brain tissue, it can create brain fog or headaches, dizziness, anxiety. When it attacks the thyroid, it can cause fatigue or hyperexcitability, anxiety, or just the feeling of being really, really fatigued and feeling sick. When it attacks the skin, it can cause psoriasis, acne, rosacea, dermatitis. So there's a wide variety of symptoms and areas of the body that can be impacted by autoimmune disease. And it seems as if more autoimmune diseases are being identified, which is kind of interesting. So very, very common autoimmune diseases. Hashimoto's is probably the most common. And now Hashimoto's is actually a disease where the thyroid tissue is attacked, right? But it can also commonly cause symptoms of brain inflammation. So people with Hashimoto's may not only have the symptoms from their thyroid not acting right, but they may have vertigo, brain fog, dizziness. So there's some link between the thyroid and the brain, between the cerebellum, which is the balance center of the brain, and the fight or flight part of the nervous system. So people with Hashimoto's may not only experience dizziness and brain fog, but also anxiety and depression because of that link in the brain. Other really common autoimmune disorders are celiac, Graves' disease, lupus, alopecia, rheumatoid arthritis, vitiligo, chronic fatigue, fibromyalgia, type 1 diabetes, Raynaud's, urticaria, Crohn's, and ulcerative colitis, and multiple sclerosis. There are approximately between 80 and 100 identified autoimmune disorders. And like I said before, they can be really difficult to diagnose. So what is it that's actually causing the immune system to go haywire? So this is the big question, right? Because we want to know, what are the triggers? Now, one of the most recent postulations is that leaky gut is the underlying cause, or at least a major contributing factor. So you may wonder, what the heck is leaky gut? You probably heard this term quite a bit. And it really is this hyperpermeability in the gut. And now, normally the gut has pretty tight junctions because that's a way of protecting our body from allowing bacteria and toxins to get into our bloodstream, right? But for some reason, the gut becomes hyperpermeable, more stuff gets through that really shouldn't, and the immune system, which 80% of our immune system is actually in our gut, gets activated because it's triggered by this. This is not what's supposed to happen. So when these bacteria, toxins, or certain foods get through the gut lining, the immune system flags them as foreign invaders. So when you eat that thing again, your immune system is triggered, and this creates sort of chronic inflammation. Inflammation then actually causes the gut lining to be more permeable. So ingested material gets through even easier without it really being broken down properly. And then also the foods that we eat today are very different and have changed since, you know, the beginning of our eating, right? There's more toxins, chemicals, and pesticides that are sprayed on our food sources. Genetically modified food is famous for that. They have a high rate of glyphosate on them, or Roundup. And there's also more inflammatory foods out there. We just eat more processed foods. We eat foods that have been changed from their original form, and they're not good for us, and they create problems with our gut. Other factors that are impacting leaky gut, and I think are making this more and more of a problem, are the amount of medications that we're taking. So there are medications out there that can increase the likelihood of leaky gut, the amount of stress that we're under. So stress definitely impacts our gut permeability. Alcohol actually affects our gut bacteria and our digestion. Parasite infections and bacterial overgrowth can also happen, which contribute to leaky gut. Low stomach acid, and then also just reduced digestive enzymes in bile can also impact like how well our body is actually breaking foods down earlier on in the process. And then, you know, what's not broken down well isn't absorbed well necessarily and can lead to nutrient deficiencies, so that can also impact our gut health. So if you suspect any of these issues, again, you really should talk to your healthcare provider for accurate diagnosis. So if you think you have leaky gut, you should definitely talk to your doctor about this. But leaky gut has been recently implicated in rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, allergies, autism, even depression, anxiety, eczema, psoriasis, and metabolic syndrome. So a lot of issues there, a lot going on. The gut may be the most important system when it comes to understanding autoimmune disease and helping to alleviate some of the symptoms that it creates. But what experts think is that there is an accumulation of stressors or triggers that create this immune response. And that's what I'm going to go over next. So we're going to go over all of the different possible triggers, and there may be more, but I'm going to go over the ones that are most talked about. eating foods that we have sensitivities to. So food intolerances is a big trigger, according to the research and the literature that's out there currently. So if your body has created an immune response for whatever reason, could be from leaky gut, and this can actually be measured on a serum blood test. So that is a route that you can take to see if you have food sensitivities. Every time you eat that food, it's stimulating this overreaction from your immune system, because your immune system has flagged it as foreign, as bad, as something that it needs to destroy, right? So even a food that you're eating just a couple times a week is enough to trigger this immune response and cause symptoms of autoimmune disease. And some of the common foods, and there are a lot, I mean, you can get blood tests that test for hundreds of different foods, raw and cooked. So I think there could be a difference between raw and cooked food. But some of the real common ones are gluten, which everybody's been hearing a lot about, dairy, any GMO foods, honestly, soy, nightshades like tomatoes, peppers, and potatoes. Eggs are commonly inflammatory, and even almonds are up there. Another possible trigger with food intolerances are histamine intolerances. So this could be going on as well. So foods that create a histamine response can be foods actually that are healthy that some people will actually be ingesting to help with their gut are fermented foods. So if you have histamine intolerance, fermented foods can be a problem. Alcohol, again, anything fermented, tomatoes, spinach, avocado, aged meats, and even aged cheeses can cause a histamine reaction. The next thing that I think really this is a huge one, and I think so many of us have a problem with this, are insulin surges. So, you know, if you're having trouble with, and if you follow me at all for weight loss and weight management, you know my stance probably, or you can listen back to my other podcasts on insulin surges and high blood glucose levels. So insulin surges occur with, you know, lifestyle choices, like if we're not as active as we should be, but also just a diet that's high in sugar or highly processed flours. Those are often the culprits. Eating too much food can cause us to become, you know, have high blood sugar levels and insulin surges and stress too. So one of my stances on this that I think is really empowering is getting a CGM, which is a continuous glucose monitor. And you can really look, you know, minute by minute at what your blood sugar levels are doing. And in my opinion, is probably one of the best things that you could do for your body and to be aware of is what's going on there. And I'm going to talk a little bit more about that actually. So sugar in the body, now we need sugar. I'm not saying it's all bad. It's just that, you know, we've had this culture of highly sugar, highly caloric foods, and most of them are really processed and not good for us. So I'm not talking about the whole foods that are maybe a little higher on the carb spectrum. I'm really talking about foods that cause damage to our body. And those are the foods that spike our blood sugars. And so you can think of sugar, especially sugar that causes those really high surges, to be like shrapnel inside our body. So it's creating this cascade of damage to the tissues. And it does this by causing glycation. So when a diet high in glucose, causes modification of the proteins and the lipids. Now that happens normally, but when you're eating a lot of it and when it becomes too much for the body, it's really accelerating the whole aging process by causing cell damage throughout the body and to our mitochondria, which mitochondria might just be the underlying cause for most problems. So if you have sick mitochondria, you're going to have a sick body. And high insulin surges and this glycation happening kind of in a massive way in your body is really impairing your cells' ability to function properly. And I think when you kind of get down to the root cause, a lot of root cause happens right there. So damage over time causes problems with our circulatory system. Our ability to heal can cause problems with our eyes, our nerves, our pancreas, our liver, our skin, causing excessive aging and wrinkles and all of that. So eating less sugar and slowing that sugar surge in our body, and also impacting cortisol, which cortisol, when we're really stressed out, causes our blood sugar levels to rise quite quickly. Working on those areas can really, really help reduce inflammation and reduce insulin surges in our body. So like I said, carbs are not the enemy. We need them to some extent, but our food culture really has swung the other way, and we have so many foods available to us that are highly addictive and are really, really not helping us with our health. So the next issue are hormonal changes and imbalances. So estrogen, testosterone, or our inability to clear these excess hormones from our body. These can also cause inflammation. They can create problems with our detoxification pathways. So actually, if your detoxification pathways are not working well or are overwhelmed, this can also be a trigger for autoimmune diseases. And I wonder if this is why women during their perimenopause and menopause years are a little bit more likely or more at risk for these diseases to show up. I'm sure somebody out there is researching this. It's just an interesting thought. Stress hormone dysfunction, or just stress on the body. So any kind of stress on our body, a little bit of stress is good, but when we get into this distress mode where cortisol is just surging through our body, whether it's because we're not eating enough, we're eating too much, if we are living in an environment that is stressful and there are things in the environment, toxins like mold, or our air quality is poor, our water quality is poor, any of these stressors, nutritional stressors, can impact our stress hormone balance. And over time can lead to adrenal fatigue and further change our hormones with how we're reacting to thyroid hormones. So stress hormones are huge, and stress in general can be a trigger. And even be inflicted with a virus. So, you know, that could be a trigger. A virus such as COVID can potentially be triggering stress in our body and creating this perfect storm for autoimmune disorders to begin or to get worse. Again, nutritional deficiencies. And this is common because, again, we're eating foods that really don't have good nutritional components to begin with. Like, there's a lot of deficiencies in the foods that we eat, whether it's just because conventionally grown fruits and vegetables are really depleted. Even conventionally raised animals, you know, they're just not given nutritious foods. So if they're not fed nutritious foods and you're eating an animal protein, you're really not getting as good of nutrition as you would have, say, you know, 20, 30 years ago. And then add in there, you know, the GMO foods, which are genetically modified. Not sure if they're actually the same nutrient value or not, but they are treated with glyphosate, which is a chemical that, you know, then your body needs to clear or it's going to cause inflammation. Then we have lifestyle factors. And I've talked about this before, stress is big. So exercising too much, not exercising enough. So sitting all day can be a stressor on the body. Working out and not getting enough sleep, overdoing things, smoking, frequent alcohol consumption. All of these things are going to impact not only your stress hormones, but your gut microbiome. And then chemical sensitivities can also contribute to autoimmune disorders and our inability to detoxify them from our liver. So, you know, if our liver is getting overwhelmed, and some of us actually are genetically predisposed to have some difficulty with detoxification, there's an overabundance of chemicals in our environment, whether it's the makeup that we put on our face, could be the lotions that we put on ourselves, the different senses and smelly things that we buy for our house, our foods, chemicals in our food, the cooking containers, our cleaning products, all of these things. And that's why I think it makes it so difficult to identify one particular thing, because there are so many possibilities that can be all triggering this, right? So if you suspect this is going on, or if you've been diagnosed with an autoimmune disorder, it's definitely worth trying to chip away at some of these things and see if you can get your symptoms to kind of relax a little bit, to go away for a little bit, and then just start really understanding what are the things that are impacting these symptoms, and, you know, how much and when and what can you have in your, you know, whether it's your diet or your environment before you start feeling bad again. So I really like Dr. Axe's acronym for this. And Dr. Axe is Dr. A-X-E. You can find him online. He's got some really awesome information on his website on all kinds of things. But his acronym for gut imbalances is actually really helpful. So he uses the acronym F-I-G-H-T-S, FIGHTS. And this stands for food intolerances, infections, gut health, hormonal balance, toxins, and stress. And that kind of sums up all the things that could be impacting your gut, but also all the things that can be contributing to autoimmune disorders. And these aren't necessarily things that your healthcare provider is going to talk to you about. Maybe they will. That would be awesome. But I'm just finding that, especially the patients that I talk to that have autoimmune disorders, doctors are generally not touching on these subjects. So it's just good to be aware of this and kind of know what these resources are. So like I said, the diagnosis of autoimmune disorder can be tricky and it can be frustrating. So if you're dealing with these symptoms and you've been kind of going back and forth with your doctor, this can be a process. But there are some ways and there are a few things that maybe you can talk to your doctor about and arm yourself with this information. These are good questions. These are things that you can ask about. And the first thing is really getting good blood chemistry tests that look for certain things. And these are a few things that you can ask for. Number one is A1C. Now, your A1C is actually looking at your blood sugar levels over a period of time. And according to the research that I've done on this, an A1C more than a 5.6 can indicate glycation kind of on a widespread scale and low antioxidant levels. So that could be something that, you know, it's not necessarily indicating that you have an autoimmune disorder, but it's indicating a risk for it because high glycation and inflammation can be a trigger. Food intolerances. There are serum blood tests that look for food intolerances. Like I said, there's, I think, you can get them online as well, but you can ask your doctor for food intolerance tests and see if there are any big triggers on there for you that maybe you're eating. And like I said before, it could be something that you're just eating a few times a week. It doesn't have to be on a daily basis. That's enough to trigger an immune response if you're sensitive to it or not tolerant. Another way you can kind of test this out is doing an elimination diet. Or the paleo diet might be one to try as well. So elimination diet, you're basically like cutting out most of the major triggers that people have problems with, and then you add them back very slowly. C-reactive protein is a good one to ask for. It's indicating inflammation. Homocysteine levels is measuring liver inflammation and your body's ability to clear toxins. So if you have high homocysteine levels, you know, your body just may not be responding well enough to get some of these toxins out. So, you know, there's different things that you can do to support better liver detoxification. And then even just looking at your white blood cell count. Now, again, you know, healthcare providers tend to have a very high threshold for some of these issues. A functional medicine doctor would have a narrower norm. So again, you know, you kind of have to hit a certain threshold in most cases for conventional medicine to say, yes, you have a problem here. So if you're having symptoms and your doctor saying all of these things are fine, it may not hurt to, you know, take a look at more of a holistic or functional medicine doctor who's going to look at these with a, you know, a narrower scope. Now, while autoimmune disorders at this current point in time are not curable, many people experience remission when they figure out what those triggers are. I think for most people, the best approach is really to be empowered and to understand as much as you can, not only about what are some of these other possible, you know, ways of reducing the symptoms, but also just understanding and knowing your individual body, because everyone is different. And I think, you know, after hearing this, you probably can put together that this isn't a very cut and dry topic. Like, there's a lot of variability and everyone's going to have a different response to a trigger and how much of a trigger causes symptoms and all of that. Probably the biggest culprit that I think right now currently science is leaning towards is your gut. So cutting out foods that are causing inflammation and adding things that help your gut heal can be really, really important. I think this is probably good for everybody, even if you're not experiencing autoimmune symptoms. Just having your body a little in that inflammation spectrum, I think, puts you at risk for it. So a few of the things that I've heard in or have read about in the literature: aloe vera juice, L-glutamine, zinc, B vitamins, and eating foods that are organic, non-GMO, pasture-raised is better, and wild-caught, like wild-caught fish, organic poultry, and also finding out the foods that are causing the inflammation. That's really, really important. So understanding, like, what are the things that are activating your immune system response. Treating overall gut health by improving the junctions in your gut lining, by reducing stress, and again, reducing the foods that are causing inflammation. And then also promoting healthy gut bacteria balance. So eating a variety of foods, and probiotics and prebiotics come into play here as well. As I talked about before, the elimination diet can be really, really helpful. This may be arguably more helpful than doing a serum test. It's difficult though, and it's definitely something that you have to devote at least a month or two to really figuring out if you want to do it right. And it's really looking at these foods that are triggering and then adding them back in. Things like I said before: gluten, dairy, soy, eggs. Also, if the elimination diet isn't quite doing it for you, looking at FODMAP and low histamine foods. So those can also be triggers of inflammation. Eating for better blood sugar balance. I really like the CGM for this because everyone is different. And some foods that we think are super healthy for us and maybe are deemed healthy foods can be causing blood sugar spikes. And then also understanding how lifestyle factors can be impacting blood sugar spikes. And that's not something that you're going to see on a simple blood test. So the CGM is giving you real-time feedback. I do this. This is what happens to my blood sugar level, which then causes insulin levels to rise. I really, really like that. And I'll actually put a link in the show notes for a CGM that you can get on your own. You can always go to your doctor and ask for one. Whether or not they give you one is another story, but you are able to buy them through NutriSense, which is the company that I use. So another thing to think about: environmental toxins. Mold is huge. You can actually get mold tests for your house to see what kind of mold is in the air in your house. Different things like BPA, you know, trying to purchase food that is, or keep food that's in non-BPA containers. Beauty products, unfortunately, and heavy metals in our environment, in our water sources, all of that are super important, even fish. So fish can actually like big fish, especially like tuna, can be a problem for heavy metals. And if your body, like your liver, is having a hard time with detoxification, that's when these things can actually trigger symptoms. So there are supplements too that you can help support your detox pathways in your liver. Things like milk thistle, methylated B vitamins, glutathione, and quercetin. I recently started taking quercetin after a COVID infection, and turmeric. And what's the other one? Oh, and I'm taking omega-3 fatty acids again. All of these things can help reduce inflammation in the body. And again, if you're on any medicine or anything like that, you really should discuss with your healthcare provider to make sure that you can take these safely. I will say I also drink a detox tea that has some really good liver support compounds in there, things like milk thistle. And I've actually come to really like the detox tea. And I think it's the Yoga brand. Totally blanking on the name. Digestive enzymes can be helpful. And I've read about DAO, which is interesting. I have no experience using this, but DAO enzyme for histamine intolerance, something to think about. I actually think I'm going to do another podcast on histamine intolerance because I find it really interesting. And then, you know, there's lactase for lactose intolerance. There's a bunch of other digestive enzymes. But if your body isn't producing the enzymes that you need in order to break your food down into the small pieces that it needs, you're not necessarily absorbing the nutrients that you need, and that's not good. Exercise. Exercise is really good for stimulating mitochondrial growth. So yes, exercise is super duper important. We should all be active as much as we possibly can. And the mitochondria are the powerhouses of our cells. Remember that from Bio 101. They are easily damaged, and exercising actually is a very effective way to stimulate regrowth and help you with producing more energy, something we should all be doing. Now, fasting kind of comes up in this as well. I think fasting can be really, really effective from all that I've read about it, from all that I know. I would say to use it cautiously, because if you just start to fast, you know, if your body is kind of stressed out as it is and you've got some stress in your life for whatever reason or hormonal imbalances, and then you stop eating for a day or two or three or whatever, that can be more stressful for your body. So I think for me, my perspective on fasting is that there are ways to do it to get the effects of fasting, which can be profound, but do it in a way that isn't overly stressful for your body. So just be careful with that. But fasting helps to stimulate your body's ability to kind of clean out damaged cells. So we call that autophagy. So we need to get rid of the garbage, the bad cells, the cells that aren't working anymore. And fasting can actually stimulate that. And it improves insulin sensitivity. So it does lots of great stuff. Another thing to think about when it comes to inflammation and our body being stressed is weight loss. So having a high body fat composition can be inflammatory. So you want to be cautious when you're actually losing weight, because toxins get stored in fat. So if you're releasing a lot of fat, you could have a lot of toxins kind of being released into your body. So you really want to definitely be supporting detox pathways, staying hydrated, and doing it in a healthy way. But weight loss can actually be really, really helpful in just reducing your overall inflammation, improving insulin sensitivity, and making you healthier. Another one that I thought was really interesting that Dr. Axe discussed in one of his blog post was getting outside and getting in touch with dirt. So dirt has healthy bacteria in it, bacteria that help us modulate our immune system, apparently. And we're missing that. We tend to live, even though we live with a lot of toxins, we actually live in a very sterile environment with all the house cleaning supplies and sanitizer, and we don't get outside enough. So getting outside, grounding, which means going outside in bare feet and standing in the grass or the dirt. Also getting a pet has been shown to really help your immune system, but getting dirty. And the other thing that I thought was interesting is eating like food that you get from, you know, your farmer's market and not scrubbing it so, so clean, like you want to wash it. But if a little healthy bacteria is on those vegetables or those fruits, that's actually beneficial to us. So as long as you don't have a histamine intolerance, fermented foods are also really, really good for supporting healthy gut bacteria, and that will help with your gut health. Raw honey and bee pollen have also been helpful and shown to help with allergies, and I'm guessing the immune system, and overall just clean water and air. So using a HEPA air filter if you do have issues with your air quality, if your water quality is not great, getting you know, some type of a filtration system for your water or one of those refrigerated ones, or, you know, the refrigerator water, whatever they're called, decanters that filter out the water. And then lastly, just using environmentally friendly home hygiene. So, you know, we like to get rid of viruses and bacteria and all of that. So there's always a case for that. But also just be careful that you're not exposing your body to too many chemicals, because chemical sensitivity can be another trigger. So I hope you all enjoyed this podcast on autoimmune disease and disorders. It's a big one. It's a big topic. It's complicated. You know, bottom line, you should always talk to your healthcare provider if you suspect any of these problems, or that should always be your first line of action. And then also arming yourselves with all of this information to discuss with your healthcare provider, and maybe, you know, being a little picky about who it is that you choose as your healthcare provider. And functional medicine has a place here, I believe. But also, it never hurts to think about what are the things that are inflaming your body. Even if you don't have a full-fledged disorder, are there things that you are doing or things that are in your environment that are impacting your health? And maybe, you know, just maybe, we can prevent some of these things from worsening. And like I said before, once your body kind of reacts to something as a foreign invader, it's not necessarily going to ever change that. It's always going to, your immune system has a really good memory. But you may be able to modulate how much you're exposed to that thing. So for instance, if dairy is something that's a trigger for you, maybe having dairy twice a week is okay with your symptoms, and it doesn't inflame you or it doesn't cause symptoms or whatever. So really knowing your body, knowing what's too much, you know, and then also dialing down the stressors in our lives in general, because lack of sleep, emotional stress, all of that can have a profound effect on our body's ability to heal and function. So, hope this was helpful. I will see you next time.